So somebody says that God said to me, sow this seed and that this will come into your life. It could have happened. God speaks to people different ways. My problem is when somebody now rises up and says, if you do the same thing today, you will get the same result. To that, I will give a, you know, I demand an answer to this question. Has God spoken to you today that if we all do that, we will get the same result? Or you are hanging it upon the fact that it happened to you last year? That is the danger. It happens once. It's not guarantee, all right? It's not enough guarantee that it will happen again and again. Even if somebody were to rise amongst those who obeyed and said, it happened just the way I thought it would, I still am not moved. It's just not a doctrine. And all you need to do is watch television when some of these our big networks are raising money and you hear all kinds of spiritual mathematics. $77 seed. The $12 seed. The 12 repeat cycles that makes up a year. The 7, the number of perfection. Grace, which is multiplied by 10, which is intensified grace, multiplied by original grace, which gives you $250 seed, which you, all kinds of things. That's how they become lies, when they become doctrines. So somebody had a testimony. He had a story, I obeyed this and it happened, does not make it a doctrine. If I may just add this one to it, the way Christians preach tithes today, I am persuaded, it started from an assembly. Now, I don't have facts on it, I'm just imagining it. It started from an assembly of people deciding amongst themselves that this is how they wanted to run the assembly. And it worked for them. Somebody took it from there, it became a doctrine. And since it makes money for us, the pastors, it's easy to stick with that doctrine. But it's not a doctrine. It is not supposed to be a doctrine. Are you getting my point? We must be careful that we don't turn diversities of manifestations into doctrines. Very, very important. I'm not talking about that beyond that, all right? But let me go back to the main thing I was saying. So that's how it is. I was talking about truths having different levels. I'm talking about on what do you stand. Something that appears true today, after a while, can suddenly be a lie. It was true for a season. Maybe because at that time, your heart was hard. Are you getting what I'm saying? When I'm talking about the hardness of heart now, it does not mean wickedness. It just means inability to perceive. And that is characteristic of baby Christians. What do I mean? Paul said that there's what is called carnality. A natural man cannot receive anything of the Spirit of God. Alright? But a spiritual man can. A natural man is somebody who has not given his or her life to Christ. Who is not a true believer. But any believer whose life is almost identical to that of a natural man is called a carnal Christian. That is, in essence, in function, there is no difference between a natural man and a carnal believer. So while a man is yet carnal, it is hard for him to receive things of the Spirit of God. For that reason, it could be said to people like that, that yes, divorce your wife, are you getting what I'm trying to explain now, using the words of Moses, and give her a certificate of divorce. So for a moment that will appear true to the person. But after a while, all right, the fellow is growing as a believer. God now calls you back and says, come, don't try that thing again. That was the only way I could get across to you then. Now you must grow as a believer. Open, I said you open somewhere, right? The book of Hebrews chapter 5. We studied that a few Tuesdays ago. I need to use it to explain something here. Now, we are going to read the book of Hebrews chapter 5. I'll read from verse 11 because my Bible puts a break there. But of course, the background to it is the story of Melchizedek and how the priesthood of Jesus Christ is after the order of Melchizedek. In answer in verse 11, concerning this Melchizedek, he was saying, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. How did they become dull of hearing? He said, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, even though you ought to be teachers, The reality is that you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed, that is, he doesn't know how to handle it. That is the word of righteousness. For he is a babe. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Now, later on, we now talk about in verse 6, chapter 6, the elementary principles about Christ and then the things that have to do with maturity. But let me get back to this chapter 5, the portion of it that we just completed reading. What was he saying? He said, by this time, verse 12, you ought to be teachers. And when he was explaining that you ought to be teachers, he was saying that you should have enough understanding to be able to decode the doctrines of God for somebody else. You should have enough understanding to be able to help other people, you know stuff. He said, but you are even at that point dull of hearing because you lack understanding. Now, this is what I'm going to explain. He was saying that there is a particular expectation that God has concerning you based on the length of time that you have been a Christian. I don't know whether I hear what I said. Listen. That is why... No, I said something last time. If a man comes and does spiritual gymnastics to raise money as an example, and he says, I mean, let's not deceive ourselves. Let's be honest. We can perceive these things. And he now says, okay, who are the 50 people that are going to connect with this special blessing that I brought from Lagos or wherever he came from? Or from America. Let them rush forth quickly, with half a million naira each. If I see an unbeliever, in my mind, good for you. If I see a baby Christian, God will have mercy on you. If I've known you to be a believer for some years, shame on you. That's my reaction. If you're an unbeliever, say, toin. I may feel bad sometimes because I don't like when we take advantage. We're supposed to preach to some people. You understand what I'm saying? But if you're a baby Christian, just say, God will have mercy on you. He will convert all of these things to a blessing for you through different ways. He has his ways of doing things, all right? But if I see you have been a believer for some years and you are still tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, then I say to you, shame on you. That's the only way I can put it. Because you see, as you grow as a Christian, certain things... No, let's read that quickly so that you understand what I'm saying. Ephesians chapter 4. This is the aim of ministry. This is why I'm here preaching. This is why I write books. I wrote something at that time when I was writing the book, serializing the book on our mailing group. Should I say yes? And one man was angry with what I said concerning how a man should relate with his wife. And he wrote me a very, very angry mail. Because I just ignored him. Truth, I know, can be hard if you are still a babe. Are you getting what I'm saying? Truth can be hard for you to imbibe. There are certain things. In fact, there's one sister, she said something there. When she wrote, somebody we know very well, one of our local brethren. She wrote me a mail then that, Oga, this book has been a blessing. But I must confess, some things are hard to imbibe. But we continue to try. You understand what I'm saying? And when we saw last week, last weekend I was not around because I went for my annual pilgrimage to my alumni fellowship. You understand? We have an annual convention. She came. She traveled all the way down from abroad for the convention. And my wife was telling me about discussions they had. You will see that the world had penetrated. So the lady said, from the discussions she had with my wife, obviously she had been learning, that is actively imbibing the truths, all right, that we shared in that book. Now, why am I saying that? Truth can be hard. That's what I'm going to explain. And as a matter of fact, if you're a baby Christian, all right, hard truths is not your portion to imbibe, really, because it's just hard. The problem is not when you are a baby Christian. It's when truth is hard for you today, 5 years after, it's still hard. I told you once, a lady came here to see me. We came for Bible study, and at the end of the day, she said something. Well, I just said, listen, I'm not of that persuasion. This is the matter of, for me, this is a matter of fact. I don't think that is right. This is what I think. She said, but other pastors say this. I said, well, that's what they say. I don't say that. She now said that, you pastors are not supposed to be confusing us. You are supposed to be teaching us. So I felt like, I didn't tell her like this, but in my mind, is it my fault now that some people are confusing you? Maybe I'm the one trying to help you. Do you understand what I'm explaining? But this is the issue. Those kind of things will always occur in your life. You'll be watching TV one day, you'll switch from one Christian channel to another, and you will hear a diametrically opposing truth that somebody is sharing. And God has not put a stop to it. Why? This is the reason. The book of Ephesians chapter 4. This is why I'm here preaching. This is why I'm here teaching. Let me just quickly summarize it. I'll just read a small portion. He was talking about gifts. He said, to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of the grace of Christ, verse 7. He now went ahead to say verse 11, and he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. He said, this is the purpose, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service or work of ministry, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the measure of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Please notice verse 14 very well. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. Let me just stop there. That is the only thing, listen to me, the only thing that will defend you from the trickery of men is that you grow up in understanding. Are you getting my point? There are people who are afraid. A man of God comes to you and says something that God said this. You are afraid to disobey him lest you die. And for that reason, a lot of people take advantage of that. People who take advantage of people's ignorance, they have their own judgment. They are not the ones I'm preaching to, however, this evening. I'm preaching to you that the only way that people will not be able to take advantage of you is if you have the truths of God planted in your heart by reason of having been a believer for some time and having been diligent in studying the word of God. There's no other way. A man walked up to me here one day, looking on fire for the Lord, a few years ago. Told me where he came from, how he prayed, how many days he fasted, and the message God gave him for me. I was sitting somewhere around here. He had his head, you know, bent to in one corner like this, and nodding vigorously with anointing. Mentioned the man who laid hands on him. He talk here, go there. And he came with a message from the Lord for me. And the Lord said, I should leave whatever I'm doing, pack my load, follow him, and go and do ministry. And I thanked him very well. I said, you should go ahead, I'm coming. Listen, if you show up to me and say, sir, I'm a pastor, I'm a prophet, God sent it to me, I will listen to you. That was not the first. There's another man who came one day, told me what God told him to tell me. Said, God said, you're not doing badly, but you're not meeting up. Thank you. What's wrong with that? Is anybody meeting up? I'm not meeting. I'm trying every day. If I, you understand my point? It was outside there. He called me. And God sent him to me. I gauged his message. He sounded okay. So God said, you did try. I said, Father, thank you. Say, I did try. So if we need to try some more, you can be sure I'll try some more. I thanked him and he went. The other one came with the message that I should come follow him. Feeling like Jesus Christ or John the Baptist or something. I did not lose any sleep over it. Why? Because before then, I already understood certain principles about prophecies. I have read from the scriptures that big men of God tell lies. Having decoded, all right, that is reading the story of the prophet that God sent to, is it Jeroboam, and prophesied against the altars. And a senior prophet came, and without going to the depth of the story, the Bible says, but he lied to him. It stuck in my head forever. No matter how big you are, you can lie to me. My lesson has been, therefore, all right, after considering for a long time, suddenly I said, any word, this is how I came to the conclusion. I haven't heard a lot of people teach, and I haven't analyzed that because I felt bad. That after all, sir, that's turning God now, or an Holy Spirit. Why did you still kill that man? Because the word of the Lord to him was, you will go into that city, prophesy, don't eat, don't drink, don't return by the way you came. If you came from the east of the city, come out through the west, and don't turn back. And the man of God stopped him on the way and said to him, God also appeared to me, and the word of the Lord came to me that I should go retrieve you, take you back in disobedience to the word that you had, make you eat in disobedience and drink in disobedience. This is the most, when I had my issues praying and studying about that thing, this was the one that was most painful. The same prophet, the Holy Spirit came upon him while the young prophet was still eating and drinking, and said, thus says the Lord, that you have disobeyed this word, a lion will kill you. I was like, God, which kind of joke is this? Why you go cause man confusion like this? Let me make a long story short. For that reason, I'm a stubborn guy. You can quote, show me a photocopy of the ID card that God showed you to identify himself, I still won't believe you. I have become very stubborn because of that. I can be in church, you are prophesying, God said I should, that's your problem. As I'm looking at you like this, in my mind, my friend, get away. Because I don't want to die. I have found out that I die faster if I disobey the one I knew before you began to talk, than if I disobey the one that you are introducing. So if I'm in doubt, I will disobey you and stick with the one I knew before I came. I came to an understanding that this is how you treat prophecies as Christians. If it does not confirm what the Holy Spirit has been dealing with you about before now, throw it away and don't feel bad about it. You will live longer like that. I came to that conclusion from studying the scriptures. So if I'm going on the way, and you stop me, and this, if you talk to me about things I had no idea about, it's different. I will consider what you are saying. But if you contradict that which I thought I knew, even if my thinking turns out to be erroneous, I'm not going to believe you until, because you see, you will know how the Lord deals with you. For me personally, most of the time, I have to come to an understanding of that process. I hardly just take decisions without understanding how it works. So usually when you come with your prophetic word, you have to go against precepts. And I will not drop my precepts because of your prophecy. Till we are no longer children, tossed to and fro by every man of God that has a microphone. And I don't mean, you see, I don't want to put doubts in your mind about people preaching. But listen, just as crooks they for road, as they day for chair for church, now so they day behind pulpit. It is not out of order for you to be on your guard. There are those who mount the pulpit. All they are thinking is, how much is it that we need to 500,000. All right, they don't gauge the congregation. That guy, if he dropped 20, it's on 50. All right, the message for the day is, it's not stopping until you drop that 50. There are people like that. I'm not saying everybody's like that, but there are. There are. And listen, the fact that there are many liars, that's another thing, does not excuse you from obeying the truth when it is preached. Because one day, listen to me, let me say this. One day, Elijah is going to show up. And you will be the widow of Zarephath for the day. And he will demand your last meal. I don't know whether you're hearing what I'm saying. How do you know when it is Elijah? With the true word of God, which you have to believe. Because after all, it is the word of God that says, trust in the Lord thy God, so you will be established. Believe also his prophets, so you will prosper. When you disobey that prophetic word, you withhold back that prosperity. So how are you going to be safe? The only thing I have to say to you today is this. Because God knows, listen, God deals with you a number of ways. I want to bring out one of them. If as of today, spiritually speaking, you gave your life to Christ, let's say 10 years ago, and as of today, the Lord expects that level 18 is where you are supposed to be operating as a spiritual man. He's going to talk to you as if you're on level 18. Every disobedience because you decide to stunt yourself at level 2 is judgment for you. I hope you understand what I said. He said, but he loves me, yes. So when he brings level 2 word to you, because a man that's supposed to be at level 18 is on level 2. Listen, that word, let me just summarize like this. All your blessings that are supposed to accrue to you on level 18, he will scale it down to match that which you can only accept as level 2. So it is still judgment. And this is how God operates. He continues to issue forth the word. It is your responsibility to be able to decode it. That's why David said, once he has spoken, the number of times I hear it is my business. So, there are people that God has spoken to and none have they heard it. J.B. David has heard it twice. None. They haven't heard it. There are problems is because, listen, the idea is this. God just issues for the word. I told you before, God called Moses, trained Moses, gave him commission, explained, when you get there, you get here, plenty talk. Then on the way, he drew a sword to kill the same Moses. You know what that means? The preservation of your life, I told you, is not tied to your anointing. It is not at all. It is your responsibility to make sure you have the word that preserves your life so you can fulfill your ministry. The word had gone forth to Moses. Every one of my people must be circumcised. And I told you before, I learned this one some time ago when I was contemplating all of these things, that I found out that circumcision on the Israelite was a sign of the covenant of his father with God, not his own covenant. So when Moses did not circumcise his son, he broke covenant with God. Just by the way, I thought about that one this afternoon. If you want to know what you really believe, ask yourself, what do I teach other people? It's not what you confess. It's not what you think. It's not what you pray. When the time to counsel other people come, what do I tell them? That's what you really believe. Listen. Anyway, let me not digress. Just by the way, I was about to start telling stories to emphasize that point, but that's not my main teaching. My main teaching is the issue of Moses, why he was about to die suddenly. All right? That's my main issue. It was his duty, even though anointed, to go and find out how to preserve the life of a prophet. I'm talking about on what do you stand? The last time, before I forget, I just remember something now. Last time I was saying something that I listened to one man of God. A man who I love, who I respect. Oh God, Lord is good. You know, many things I have to say. That's why
Let me just say this to you. Whether you're a preacher or not, again, it's your duty to go and learn the truth that will bless your life in every aspect of life. I told you on Tuesday, if I've not even shared this with my wife, she was not around on Tuesday, because she went to Lagos when I came back from my convention. Over the last few weeks, and especially during my convention, I became afraid. I became afraid, why? Because I suddenly realized this thing I'm telling you. That you may think you are waiting for God. And a lot of times, he's the one waiting for you. That I have sent forth the word that will lift you up from where you are into where you are supposed to be. The deafness of your ears is the reason why you are still there. Like I told you, there is nothing like, and thou shalt pray, and prayer shall make you free. Thou shalt know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Until you are able to absorb that level of truth that's required for the next level of your life, you are going to remain on that level. And what I've just added for you today is this: sometimes God has released that truth, but you are still dull of hearing, and you think you are waiting for God. That in my season, and God said, listen to me, your season is the day you grab the understanding I've been trying to give you for the last 5 years. He said, God is not slack, as some count slackness. He said, a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. He said, but God is long-suffering, waiting for all to do what? To repent. That is, the length of their days is decided by the moment of their repentance. If they repent in one day, what God will have done in 1,000 years, he'll do it for them in one day. But if it takes them 1,000 years to repent, what God will have done in one day, it will take him 1,000 years to do. After all, why did he take Israel 40 years to enter into the promised land? Simply because he gave them a word, and the word preached was not mixed with faith in the hearts of them that heard it. Therefore, they perished in the wilderness. The whole nation took 40 years to do a journey they could have done in a week. Listen, I told you last time, I was listening to a man who I respect. I was listening to him preach. He was describing his life, how God lifted him from one level to the other, how money used to be small, and for a long time, and I observed it. I was reading him or listening to him, and I was listening or reading one of them, I can't remember for sure now, and it hit me suddenly that, sir, the problem was that nobody preached to you the gospel of abundance. And in case they did, your traditional mindset rejected it. Therefore, you struggled financially for 20 years, not because God was training you any special training, but because your heart was too hard to receive the gospel of abundance. And when you see men who are preaching the gospel of abundance, you label them covetous. Now, you are telling me of your struggles now and making it look like it was an experience in spirituality. No! It was an experience in deafness. Listen, we have to be careful. Wilderness experience comes in two levels. There is a wilderness experience that you must go through so much, you must learn some truths. But there's a wilderness experience in which the Bible calls it unpersuadableness, retains you in the wilderness for 40 years. Listen, Christianity no be play. No be yo. Guy, just go play. No. It's serious business. Paul told Timothy, study to show yourself approved. Listen, if you read another translation, it says, be diligent. What am I trying to say? Christianity is hard work. I was telling you about the amount of truth you know, being the amount of revelation, being the amount of glory, amount of the power of God that's manifested in your life. And I gave you the story of Moses and the divorcing of their wives. Go and read the whole Bible, Genesis to Revelation. God never, ever used a man who lived under that law to explain what marriage is. Not once. Go and read it. Only times he used any man to talk about marriage. Number one was Adam and Eve.
Abraham and Sarah, he jumped the whole of Israel until he came to Christ and the church. Why? Israel believed on the law that Moses said you could give a certificate. Therefore, David never married God's marriage. Solomon never married God's marriage. You know, there was one drama we were watching on TV yesterday night, my wife and I. And I said, the man had three wives. And he rounded up all the wives. All of you, come. Stay there. Where is the money that's missing from my bag? I told my wife, I said, can you see? These are concubines. These are not wives. I told my wife, this is a drama. I said, but these are concubines. They are not wives. You can never have a real wife if that law of Moses is in your heart. Listen, no. It is your duty. It is my duty to learn the truth that will preserve your life. It is your duty. It is my duty to learn the truth that will preserve my life. Are you getting my point? I found out that was what terrified me over the last few weeks. That Pastor Banky, you may have been saying that I'm waiting for God's time. Listen, no. God may have been waiting for you to just get some things out of your head and understand what I've been saying for 5 years. Ken Hagin said he had a vision, and don't ever forget what he said to one, he said to all. He said he had a vision, and the Lord said to him in that vision, what are you going to do? No, he said, told the Lord that I've been waiting on you for the last, is it 10 or 12 years? And God said, no, I have been waiting on you for the last 10 or 12 years. Say, what do you mean? Say, what are you going to do about that thing I said to you 10 years ago? And the Lord said, the man said to the Lord, I was not planning to do anything about it. He said, you are going to have to, or else. Why did I tell the story? He thought he was waiting for God. And the Lord said to him in a vision, I have been waiting for you, let me put my own words, to get to the level where you can understand me. I have been waiting for you to step up to obedience. And that's why the Bible talks about the patience of God. All that period is God's patience. It's not his God's time. No. It's God's waiting for you to recognize that the time has come for you to walk into the destiny that he planned for you. And listen, until you grab hold of understanding, you can't. That's why anytime you see a Christian who tells you, I can't read, I don't have time. Tell him your life will revolve around this spot for a very long time. You won't realize it. Don't be kind. Tell the fellow straight. Listen, because I have studied enough to find out that God doesn't play about it. If you don't actively search for it, you won't get it. You know, we quote the scripture a lot that he showed his acts to Israel and his way to Moses. And you know, for a long time I thought that he just said, Moses, come, leave them. May I show you something? Not only for you. Until one day I read the scriptures and I found that Moses went to pray and said, God, show me your ways. That is, any of the Jews that will have bothered to pray that prayer will have gotten the same experience that Moses had. That this is what you seek that you find. You hear what I said? It is what you seek, that is what you find. Listen, let me end with this. There is a next level God wants to take you to in life. What is holding you back is that you have not been able to receive the truth that will carry you to that level. Thou shalt know the truth, and the truth that you know will carry you from this level onto the next. It will set you free from the bondage of this same level you have been on for the last 4 years and 6 months. Yeah, look, everybody has his own. Everybody has her own. But this is the only thing you can do for yourself. You will go and pray. You know, I told you, prayer without understanding is a waste of time. I hope with today, rise to your feet, let us pray. Let me end it here. You need to pray that prayer.